You might have noticed a change in your neighborhood lately. Yep, Sprint stores are now T-Mobile stores. Now that Sprint is T-Mobile, you get more coverage, value, and benefits than ever before. We've invested billions to bring our 5G from big cities to small towns across America. And great coverage is just the start. From high-speed mobile hotspot data to weekly deals and giveaways, our customers get tons of great benefits. Head to your new T-Mobile store to learn more.
Qualifying service and capable device required. Coverage not available in some areas. Some uses may require certain plan or features. See T-Mobile.com.
And he's like, look, people trust you. You're well-liked. You're like, you know what you're doing. Like, yeah. Why wouldn't you? And I was like, well, that's right. Why wouldn't I?
I'm Jess Averhart, and you're listening to the Reinvention Road Trip podcast. Listen, I'm a mom who's obsessed with the power and process of reinvention. And I'm also a fourth generation entrepreneur. I've worked on an Amish farm and for the world's most admired company, produced events in partnership with the NFL and NBA, and carved out a little place in the world of early stage startups. Every step of the way, learning the power of reinvention. So let's take this journey together. It's time to get inspired, dream louder, and own the keys that will unlock the next best version of you.
Welcome back to Reinvention Road Trip. I am so excited. We're in season two, and this is our first episode where I bring on a guest. So if you're thinking about this, well, if you know me, you know that anybody I bring onto this podcast, I absolutely adore and admire. They're people that inspire me without question. And so that's probably exponentially true for the folks that I'm bringing on first. So my first guest is somebody that's near and dear to my heart, is a dear friend of mine, one of my best friends who I've watched over the years grow her business into a little micro empire here in the Triangle, in the Research Triangle Park area and across the state of North Carolina. It's one of those things. Remember how you would joke with friends and you're like, I'll say I remember you when, you know, you'd say that to friends in school. Like, that's exactly how I feel about this relationship I have with Shelly, because I have had the unique opportunity of watching her think and grow her business thoughtfully along the way and make some really good decisions. And then I'm sure she'll share with us the times, I don't know what those are, the messy middle stuff that I was talking about in episode one, where it just isn't always easy, right? I get to see some of it, but I know that it's got to be so much harder as you're thinking about founding a company and taking it to scale, like bringing on employees. And so she's going to share a little bit of that with us today. So let me get into who is Shelly. For those of you who are listening who don't know Shelly McFadder, she's the founder and CEO of Bridgepoint Construction. And while she doesn't really see the idea of her reinventing herself time and time again, she has many times over. From ocean engineer, she graduated out of college with an engineering degree and went into ocean engineering, to construction, to now an investor. She has reinvented herself many times over professionally and then even personally. Married three kids and then became a single mom with three kids and then trying to grow a company at the same time. It's just like heroics, a heroic effort. And she really has built this little empire here in our corner of the world. And people know her not just as a woman's business owner and a woman in a male-dominated world. I mean, that's not really it. She's really, really good at what she does. She's excellent in her industry and is incredibly respected, which is why was able to take her company from, you know, a small consulting firm to a multi-million dollar business in just a few short years. Remember when I talked about the comfort cliff in episode one, and you think about that moment where you're standing on the edge. And I think I remember saying to you all how I enjoy taking risks. Like, I like that part of my life. It's one of those things I'm not afraid to do. And I always laugh at Shelly because I don't know anyone. Literally, I pride myself in my ability to take risks. And Shelly takes more than I do. So like, she's like definitely a leader in this way. She's constantly jumping off cliffs. Such that the state of North Carolina just recognized her for her good work and her ability to grow and lead her business. And she was just inducted into the North Carolina Women's Business Owners Hall of Fame. So congratulations, Shelly. It is well earned, well deserved. And I'm really glad that I am not the only one that is just like cheering you on, because it's so good to know that the whole state sees your efforts. Shelley Leslie, who works at Capital Broadcasting Company, I think sums it up best. She was quoted as saying that you, Shelley, strike a balance of personality, which you do, humor for sure, and grit, definitely. You hustle on behalf of your clients. And I would say that you also hustle on behalf of your employees and your family and friends. And I am grateful that I get to be considered one of those. So welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jess.
So I'm just kind of thrilled by this whole story, and I'm excited that people are going to get to hear it for maybe the first time. I don't know that you've shared your whole timeline with us or with people in general. Like, I know you do a lot of speaking, and you've done some of these podcasts before, and you've done interviews, and you're on magazine covers and stuff. Okay, we get it. You're amazing. But I really want to take this, like, next 30 minutes to share with women, especially, your journey. And I want to pay special attention to those inflection points, that messy middle, and the moments that you jumped off the cliff, because that's the stuff that we get a little worried about, right? And we kind of put our dreams on hold for the sake of comfort or familiarity versus maybe taking the big leap. And you just do it all the time, and it always looks effortless to me. And you have grown a multi-million dollar business. So for our listeners, when I first met Shelley, I met her in a little office in Durham across from the old ballpark, and she was working in her office, and her dad was her part-time bookkeeper, mm-hmm. and that was the story of her life, right? I mean, that's how I knew you.
Yep, he had retired, and I knew I did not want to learn QuickBooks, and he got himself up to speed pretty quick and said, well, he was newly retired, so he was looking for something to kind of do, so yeah.
Yeah.
My dad and I in an office.
In a little office, yes. Right. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. Look at her in contract or construction or whatever. And so, but why don't you give our listeners the backstory? I mean, how did you even come to that point
when
you were starting your own business?
Yeah, and I think to go back to your first podcast comment about the cliff jumping episode, my daughters actually listened to that episode,
awesome.
And they said, Mom, you are a chronic cliff jumper. I was like, I know, right? Like, I didn't even think about it until you coined it like that, which was really kind of funny that, like, yes, I do have a chronic problem with jumping off cliffs.
Mm-hmm. And it has to be if your daughters are calling you,
right,
saying,
right.
You know what you are, now we
right,
know.
Right, now we know, yeah. So it really, me starting my own company started with just people believing in me before I really believed in myself. I had no desire to own my own company. I was a company girl. I was going to retire at the construction company I worked at. And, you know, I was not leaving there. I was happy. And I had a developer out of Chapel Hill who had gotten to know me because we were kind of considering building their project, and the company I was with decided not to build it. And they said, well, hey, we need someone to manage our construction. Would you leave there, start your own business, and we'll be your first client? And I thought, what? Who? What's happening here? I don't even know how to start a company. I don't even know what's happening here. But it was intriguing enough to do a little research, talk a little bit more with them. And when I decided to do it, my daughters, who are twins, were just going into kindergarten. So I have a son who's a couple years younger than them. So I went from three kids in daycare to only one kid in daycare. So financially, I could, it was a more calculated risk. I couldn't have done it if all three were in daycare. We just couldn't have made that happen. But so there was some perfect timing that was happening with that. And I felt like if I'm ever going to do it, now I've got, 12 years before I have to pay for college, so I better hurry up and make some money and make this happen.
That's a goal. That's the carrot, for sure.
So I had talked to the guy who was running the construction company I was working at and told him about this opportunity, and he said that I had a job there in 2 weeks and I had a job there in 2 years, and that I needed to go do this.
Wow.
And he said that half the people sitting in this office wish they had that opportunity and that you needed to do it. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm quitting then. But he was super supportive, right? And he believed in me that I could go do it, right? This developer believed that I could go do it. So I was like, well, people must, they saw more in me than I saw in myself. Yeah. So I said, well, I'm just going to go with that.
Yeah.
And so started the construction services business, my Bridgepoint Construction Services, and did that for quite a few years. You know, had a lot of repeat clients. The market was great here in the Triangle. There was a big need for it. Kind of hired people periodically on contract because, you know, that was in 08, 09, like the market here, mm-hmm. you know, the construction market just tanked because of all the dot-com yeah. stuff that happened, right? So it was kind of a good time to just utilize people as I needed. And then one of our mutual friends, yeah. Client, had encouraged me. I'd been doing a fair amount of work for him. And he said, why don't you just start a construction company? And I'll give you some work. And I thought, you are crazy. And I really did think he was kind of joking. And then we met again mm-hmm. a couple months later, and he brings it up again. And I was like, okay, he thinks I can do this. I mean, I've been a contractor. I know how to do that work. So, all right, maybe I'll give this a try.
I remember that day. I actually remember that day that happened, because we had lunch. And I remember you saying, I don't know if he's serious or not, but this right? is what just happened. And so we talked about it. And I was like, I mean, I don't know. It sounds like a pretty serious right. situation, and they have the business and they have the work. So, and then I remember you were like, I'm meeting with him again. And right. then that's when it all sort of changed.
I said, all right, I'm going to let this sit here yeah. and percolate for a little bit. And then when we met again, he asked me again. I was like, okay, he must be serious. And he's like, look, we have work. We have a lot of work, and I'll give you some of it to get started. You know, like just people trust you. You're well-liked. You like, you know what you're doing. Like, yeah. why wouldn't you? And I was like, well, that's right. Why wouldn't I? Right. And so off I went and started the general contracting business. Then it was probably, I was trying to do some of it on my own. I hired like my first superintendent, and it was kind of me and a superintendent, which the first hire is terrifying, right? The first time you have a full-time employee, you're responsible for their family. I take it very seriously. I've never from day one looked at my staff and my team as a commodity. Like, they are the reason I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Bridgepoint General Contracting does not exist without everybody that works there, right? It's not me.
Right.
I'm not out there building the projects anymore. Like, my team is doing that. And I take their well-being and their families very personal.
Yeah.
And I think they feel that. A lot of people now have been with me for 6-7 years.
Yeah.
You know, and so considering we really pretty much got started in 13, that's a long time
yeah.
for to have that many people, you know, be with me for that long. But it was definitely, you know, that first person was, I swear, the hardest.
Yeah.
Like, it was very difficult. And then the second one was a little easier. You know, and then you kind of get the hang of it. You're not worried as much. And you're just like, okay, I'm just going to have to keep bringing in the work to keep these people busy, you
yeah.
know. And I think, you know, we've grown pretty well. I mean, the general contracting, we'll do, you know, probably $25 million or more this year. We have 20, there's 20 people, which is a great size. So in between being a solo construction services person and having 20 people on my general contracting team, in the middle there, I cliff jumped again and started a site work company with a business partner, kind of took all my bonding and banking contacts and his site work expertise. And we started Bridgepoint Civil in 16, I think. And there were so many people like, what are you doing, girl? You were
yes.
starting a site work company, like buying equipment, you know, weekly payroll, what are you doing? And I was like, yeah, that is kind of crazy, isn't it? And we went from, you know, in 3 years, we went to 125 people and $14 million in revenue.
Yeah.
Like, it was off to the races. It was crazy. But I just realized that it really wasn't for me. Like, I knew construction, I knew general contracting, right? I obviously wasn't a site work girl. And so we ended up, you know, I sold the company to my partner. He changed the name. And I just focused solely on general contracting because
yeah.
it's what I know.
Yeah.
It's what I live the day to day of and stuff like that. So, yeah, even in between my big cliff jumping, I do small cliff jumping.
Yeah, yeah. You're always keeping an eye out. But I want to talk about, I think, so, you know, and there's another cliff you jumped just recently in the last 18 months when you became an investor, like a real serious investor where you're looking at projects and people are pitching you ideas and you're thinking about it. But before we get to that, I want to talk about your success, your profitability. And the reason why I talk about it is that I think maybe the hook of this podcast is going to be about how you grew your business from, you know, small consulting firm to $25 million in so many years. I don't know what I'm going to name it. It's going to be something like that. And people are going to chase that title. And you've said to me more than once that they might chase that title, but that's not how you made that money. It wasn't through chasing revenue.
Right. Sometimes I used to be embarrassed to say this, but I'm not embarrassed anymore because I've been successful at it. I've never had a revenue goal. Like any of the years, never had a revenue goal. I just knew I have two superintendents, so I have to keep them busy. Mm-hmm. And I have seven superintendents, I have to keep them busy. And I have 11 superintendents, I got to keep them busy. You know, it's just, and we chased good projects. We chased good clients. And I found that there was a small period of time, and I'm talking 6 months, right? Okay. Where I felt like we need work, we need projects, things are slowing down a little bit, like I have to fill some gaps. And we took jobs just to take them, right? Yeah. They weren't profitable. The client was a terrible fit. Mm-hmm. My staff was miserable because of that. And it just was a really terrible time period. And I was like, I would rather one of my superintendents not be as billable and get the good project than take work just to take work, mm-hmm. because you have to meet a revenue goal. Like, wow. We've been profitable, right? We've always made a profit. I've been able to give my staff bonuses every single year, even in COVID. Yeah. We had bonuses. It was amazing, but I just found that chasing a quarterly goal it just doesn't make sense. Are we profitable? Mm-hmm. Why are we profitable? We're profitable because of the projects and clients we have.
Yeah, so. That speaks to me because I, you know, it speaks to this idea of, and you didn't say this, but I think in my mind, you know, I think about who I'm interviewing and the type of work that I take with my consulting business. It's always around values. And like if somebody, you know, I wouldn't interview a woman. I was just having this conversation. I wouldn't interview a woman on my podcast who didn't have the same sort of value set that I have, or doesn't believe in equity, right?
Right,
or
right.
Like some of my core value principles, or treats their team or their work environment with a toxic, has a terrible or toxic culture and treats their employees poorly,
right.
Or treats the women poorly in their business, because I'm all about women's empowerment. And like, you might be killing the game and everybody might be giving you awards,
right.
But if you're not a good person,
right.
And the people that you lead don't like you.
Right. No, exactly.
I can't have you on here.
Exactly.
Because that's not what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about that exceptional human, the ones who do the hard things, which is stick to what they believe in. Don't chase their, in your case, not chase. Some people do think that having goals are really important. Revenue goals are important. And that's fine because that's their business philosophy. But in your case, that wasn't your business philosophy.
Right.
It was good work, good people. You know,
right.
That was important to you. And it's worked.
It's worked.
Yeah.
And I know I've talked to people in the construction field who have businesses, who've had businesses. And when they find out I didn't have revenue goals and I've still grown my business, I've been profitable, they actually think I'm crazy. Like,
yeah.
They don't even understand how I don't have a revenue target even for like this year.
It does it does sort of laugh in the face of like MBA students who are like, I went to school at Duke to get this big degree so that I can help you figure out your revenue model, and you're like, I don't need one. I'm good. We're just gonna be better this year than we were last year.
Right. And that is what's happened, right?
Yeah.
We've taken on bigger projects, more complicated projects. You know, we work with, you know, clients who have more complicated projects, and that lends itself to a higher profit margin because the projects are more complicated, right? We're not out public bidding 80% of the time.
Yeah.
You know, we do some public bid because we need to be competitive. We need to know what the market is. So we're probably 15% of our revenue probably is public work, but you know, we're chasing private clients where we're one of three bidders, or we're interviewing and getting selected on our, you know, our team, our qualifications and stuff like that. So, yeah. It's been good, and it does sound crazy, actually.
I love it, though. I love it. I love unconventional ways of doing things. Like, if everybody just does everything the same way, it's no fun.
Right, so I
kind of like that you're, like, laughing in the face of convention, and that the people you're laughing in the face of, if I could just be honest, are these men, right? You're just like, no, that's terrible. We're not here to male bash. But it is kind of like, you do it your way.
Right.
I'm going to do it my way.
Like, I don't even know how to do a business model. Like, yeah. I honestly don't. Like, I luckily didn't have to present one to my bank when I was going for credit lines. Like, because by the time I needed a credit line, I was already profitable.
Yeah,
right?
And so
they were like, oh, you got a good track record.
Your profit and loss statement was your business model.
Yes.
They're like, oh, she's profitable.
Now, I'm not saying that's a great idea, right? Like, someone wanting to start a new business, like, I get that you have to, like,
yeah.
There's definitely.
Yes,
like,
right. It's sort of the asterisk, the warning. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Don't take this advice and look me up on, you know, Instagram or LinkedIn and yell at me because I.
She said we didn't need to have a business plan.
She didn't say
a business plan. She didn't say a business model, which is revenue goals.
Right,
so,
right.
So let's talk about. I have two more things I really want to cover before we land this plane that I want to know. The second mostly, which is around self-care. So be thinking about that. Also because I know you and I know a little bit about this self-care business. And so I think we should talk about it. But the last pivot that you've made just recently is because you've been doing really well in your business and have made some very savvy professional business move and have grown your company carefully, you've been able to do some personal investment projects. And so, you know, did you ever think that you'd be an investor?
I never did. And it actually, when you called me an investor, I was like, that's weird. Oh, I guess I am an investor.
Yeah, she did do the like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm like, girl, you have like four, how many projects have you invested in?
Yeah, I think just three.
Three, okay,
yeah,
just
yeah,
three. So she has three investment deals on the table that she's part owner of.
Right.
And that's significant.
Yeah, I mean, no, it you know, definitely adds a layer of stress to my life. But I'm not going to be a general contractor when I'm 70, right? Or hopefully when I'm 60.
Yeah.
So I wanted there to be other options for me down the road as well. So I was trying to like starting to lay those pathways, right, for that.
So did you go looking for it or did somebody say, hey, how does that go?
I mean, I didn't really go looking for it necessarily. It just kind of happened. I guess the medical device company I invested in, I did get introduced to them through somebody and just actually found that the whole device super intriguing and just felt very compelled to invest in it. And then since my daughter had been having, she ended up having treatments with it, I saw the results. Like, it was striking.
Yeah.
And ended up investing a little bit more through the end of last year and stuff. So so that's super exciting. I'm looking forward. That's a whole nother field I don't know anything about, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm looking forward to learning about FDA and medical trials and all that kind of stuff, you know, so
that's
that'd
cool.
be fun. Yeah.
That's really cool. All right. Well, so follow Shelly. Oh, Shelly, what's your Instagram? Just generally, do you know?
Is it S. McFadder 1?
I think so.
Yes,
I think it is. S. McFadder 1. Follow her on Instagram just generally because I think over the next couple of years you'll just see various things that she's working on.
Yeah.
Through, and do you want to talk about your spa?
Yeah. So the spa kind of fell into my, it kind of happened. One of my daughters is in Charleston. And so when I was renovating a condo down there, I had decided I was going to do a little self-care because I never go get a facial.
She doesn't, right.
I never get a massage, like maybe one a year, maybe. Like, I'm anyhow. So I decided I found a spa in Charleston that was woman owned and I didn't want to go to like a big commercially, you know, managed spa and stuff. So started going there periodically and got to know the owner and stuff. And then, she moved to a new location and she really, you know, when I was getting my hair done by her then, and she was like, I really need, you know, to renovate this place. I need to make some changes if I really want to grow. And she's on King Street. Like, it was an amazing location.
Yeah.
And she does amazing work. She just needed business help, right? She knew how to run a spa, but she didn't have all the business side.
So you told her that she should have revenue goals.
I didn't actually. We actually have a model now on, like, whatever. Yeah. We do have a model now on that. But good. Someone else, Sarah,
manages
did that.
It.
Sarah did that. Yeah. I didn't do it. But anyhow, so I was just listening to her, and I was like, she's sitting on a gold mine. Like, she just needs someone to help her, right? Yeah. I was like, well, you know, maybe let's go into business. I'll help you. Like, and so shortly after that, we shut down. We're in the middle of renovating the spa right now. And so we hope to be open in maybe 6 weeks. We're having some permitting issues. Heart of Charleston Spa and Salon. So I'm pretty excited about it. So, you know, get to learn about that. That's going to be exciting. I don't even know what happened on that. It was more, I think some of it was emotional because I really wanted to see this woman succeed. I felt like she had all the tools. She has the location. She just needed some support, right? Yeah. And so it's been fun, you know? Yeah. It's awesome. And I get to do my construction thing, you know?
That's
of course.
Right there.
Of course, we, you know, close and we...
the person. That's right. That's how it's done.
We do the things, yeah. So that's been cool. And because of that, I also ended up buying a... She also has some... does some salon and spa work out in Colorado. I'm kind of part owner of that as well. And then I bought a building in Colorado that the salon and spa is in. So, yeah, there's that.
It's a lot going on. A
lot happening.
Yeah, it's good to give the texture of all the things because that's why you're here.
And I don't talk about it a lot.
I don't talk about it
because I just keep it to myself and keep it moving.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that you would have time to talk about it a lot because you're managing all the things.
Right.
But let's talk. So this is a good segue because you are an investor, a part owner, and a day spa.
Right.
Two day spas. Well, two locations.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, this is where we keep it all the way live, real, on this podcast. I've known her for a long time. We decided it's 11 years. And Shelly puts everybody else first. She has, like, quintessential superwoman complex. And I've seen her on moments ebb and flow where, so I'm talking to the audience here, you're sitting right here, but I know that you think it's important. This is the thing that I want to sort of point out is that, in my opinion, the way I've seen you move is that you know that it's important and you do value self-care.
Yes.
You just don't prioritize it.
Correct.
And then when you do, you go big or go home. You're like... Kind of, you're jumping off your cliff of self-care too. You
right.
do big stuff,
right?
And then you go down into the depths of work, and then you come back out,
right?
Like, you know, but like that is sort of even a pattern with your self-care. And I just wonder what, and I suspect that there are women who do the same thing, who know it's important, and then they do these big grandiose moments. But I'm wondering about that sustainability. I feel like in the way I do it is. I dibble dabble along the way so that I can feel like I have control over my own destiny type of stuff.
Right.
And I don't know which is better because I'd love to take a week and go somewhere, but I can't, I don't do
yeah,
that.
Look, I can't even take a week. I'll take like, I might go 4 days, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't even think I can take a yeah. week anywhere. It's crazy, but yeah.
Yeah,
but you're right.
We vacationed together a couple of times.
Yeah, we vacation well together,
we
too.
We do really vacation
Oh, it's so
well.
Much fun. Yeah.
But short.
But
four
sure,
days, baby.
4 days, in and out. Yeah, like, it's crazy. So, no, I am the worst self-care person that I know, you know.
You're not the worst.
Okay.
You're not the, oh, that I know?
Yeah.
Or maybe. No, I'm
yeah.
kidding.
No,
I'm just,
no.
I'm just joking.
I do know that it is super important, especially because the level of stress that I allow myself to get to, right? Like, everyone, I don't think they... Well, they don't really laugh about it, but I laugh about it because it's the only way I can cope with it is like, you know, the levels of stress. It's like I get to a very stressful level and then I almost normalize it. And then I'm like, okay, I can do more. Right. And then I can do more and I can do more until I don't even realize the level that I'm running at because I have normalized it. And that's not healthy and that's not okay. And I do not recommend that. It's just my life and how I've lived. And so I do think that coming into this year, I really, you know, my goal would be to almost put self-care on my calendar, right? Because if I don't, months go by
yeah.
and I'm in the weeds and I'm, you know, doing my thing. And so I really want to start putting, you know, going to the spa, right? Like going and getting a massage and facial on a Tuesday afternoon, right?
Yeah.
Or something and just doing it because the weekend, if I wait till the weekend, then that's, that's not helpful, because then I get stressed out because there's all these things I need to be doing on the weekend, doing like taking care of myself, right?
Yeah.
And so I really plan on like forcing that. I haven't been at all, but that is my goal. Like I really plan on putting it on my calendar and like making it happen.
Appointments, I think, are healthy and important, and it doesn't have to be reckless. It's just your time that gives you the recharge to get going and be able to support your team and family at the highest level. And it's just something to look forward to.
It's just
to.
A couple hours, right? Like, and I'm not going to go for like a Tuesday spa day, but I may go for a couple hours and just get a facial and a, you know, massage. Like, and that's 3 hours maybe, right, of my day that really could, you know, I could sit there and can gather my thoughts, take a minute, you know, just relax and unplug. Yeah. And so,
and the week up leading up, you're thinking about it. Like there's also that week leading up or whatever, you know, it's coming. And it feels like, okay, I have a reprieve. But if you don't, I'm a big believer. And if you don't have a thing to look forward to, you really do get lost in the sauce around life.
Right.
And days and weeks go by, turns into months. And just like you said, I get a massage once a year.
Yeah.
And I was like, you do? I'm like, I think we get massages at this, like, we'll go to the spa. I'm like, that must be the massage time when we're going.
Right.
To the spa.
It is.
Girl. Yes. Okay.
I know.
Well, I'm going to help you with it.
Yes. We're going to get that on the calendar.
I'm going to call Dave. Dave's her husband. So, Shelly just recently got married. How many years now?
Just two.
Two or three years ago.
Coming on 3.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so anyways, so she got a whole family to deal with, and I'm going to be like, Dave, listen here. We got to get her on this schedule, okay, friend?
Yeah.
Anyways,
no,
all right, what else about self-care? Just anything in general. I mean, your mom, you're like dealing with all the things. What else? Oh, you know what? Tell them about what you're doing this weekend.
This weekend?
She came in so excited
before
my gosh. The podcast. Like,
this is such a dork moment.
So proud of herself.
Yeah.
And
so usually on the weekends, I work. I do laundry, you know, I clean around the house. I work in the yard. I turn my laptop on. I work a lot, right? Like, even in the evening, like after dinner, I'm working. Like, I'm not interested in watching a lot of TV and stuff. So I made myself a list for this weekend, and it's so funny because it's just like, I'm going to go to the farmer's market. I'm going to Ulta.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Whole Foods.
I'm going
to
Whole Foods.
Top 25, like, whatever, keto, 15 keto
items that they have. Like, I'm like, I'm just going to spend 2 hours in Whole Foods and just wander around. And I'm pretty excited about all that, which is like hilarious, actually. But if that's what it takes just to not be, because if I'm at home, I'm going to migrate to my laptop.
Yeah.
And so I thought that would be a good way for me to just not, I'm going to go hit golf balls. Yeah. I'm going to the range. I'm going to lay out in the sun for a little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's great. I'm laughing at you because it was cute when you came in with your list. But I mean, in all sincerity, I think that is great. And I think it's a good tool. I think it is actually a really good tip for us. You know, if you feel like if you're home, you're going to be compelled or drawn into your dishes, your whatever, all the things you need to do, the cleaning, the this, that, and the other. And the way to get to break that cycle is to get out of the house, then create a fun little excursion for yourself. It
right.
doesn't have to cost you anything. These are maybe fun little errands that you want to do anyways.
Right.
Go look up a list of something you want to check out and then go to the store and look for them. I love this Whole Foods thing. I actually think that'd be super fun too.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be grand. You don't have to take a week off. You don't have to go away for 4 days to a beach. There are ways to take care of ourselves that can be as meaningful and provide you as much joy because you're really happy.
Because I need to not be thinking about all the things.
Yeah.
Right. Because I think about Dave has even said, like, and friends of mine have said, when we're driving in the car and I'm just somewhere else, right? I'm thinking. I'm always thinking about
the next thing.
What's going on, the business, you know, a project, whatever. They can tell. They can like see it in my face.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah, but it's the nature. I mean, we just unpacked all of your things.
Yeah, yeah.
That
and, you know, where I think
it into, which is the other thing.
I think where I regret the most would be doing that when my kids were younger.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I have twins, twin girls, Morgan and Sydney, that are 19, and my son Andrew's 16. you know, and they were young when I was growing the company, right? And then especially when I got divorced and it was me, like I had to support, you know, myself and my kids' household, right? That I was really feeling the pressure. And I feel like I worked too much. I was there, I was present, but not listening to them, right? Which if I could go back, that would be one thing. I would make sure they knew I heard them, you know? But I think they weren't happy about a lot of it when they were younger, but now they are fiercely independent children, right? Because I mean, I don't know who their homeroom teachers were. Yeah. I don't know what, you know, they got good grades. Luckily they stayed out of trouble. So I didn't have to get involved in school too much.
Her kids are brilliant. They're at the top of their classes. They're all really smart kids. So yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't have to like intervene in that a lot, but I do wish I would have been more present, you know, at the time, but now they get it and they're proud of me and they appreciate like what I've done and stuff like that. But it was a tough run there for a bit.
I know. But I happened to be there when you got your award earlier this week, and all three of your kids were there. They were all beaming with pride. And as soon as we walked in, I walked in because I walked in late. It's just like your kids were so locked in to your success and just being so proud of you that all the things in their own world went away because they were there for you.
Yeah,
and that was
cool.
Really cool.
No, it was cool.
Yeah, I was proud of them, and also like that's the power of the work that you've done with them is that they really see and wanted to celebrate with you.
Yeah,
so,
that was special. Thank
that
you.
Was awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a great honor. I was totally surprised. I didn't even know I got nominated, and then to not know you were nominated and then to win was crazy.
And yeah, Shelly's young. That's great. You'll see her picture.
Oh, yeah. I said I was way too young.
Why is she getting a Hall of Fame? Even when you sent it to me, I was like, congratulations. Is your career over?
Right.
What's happening
here? Yeah. I was like, I'm way too young to get this award, but I'll take it.
But
I appreciate
think
it.
But listeners now understand why, though, because you've done some incredible work. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, women-owned construction company. It's
rare.
Not my husband's company. No, it's not my family. It's not a family business. It's me. Right. Okay. I did it. I grew it.
Yep.
You know, we're making it happen. So yeah, that's not super common.
It's not.
Right.
Well, my friend, this was delightful. I love that we got to record the story.
Yes.
Because
it was fun.
Yeah. I think people need to hear it. And we all have stories like this where we make these decisions along the way that are critical, and depending on how we move changes the rest of our life.
Right.
That.
I never, ever, when I started in 07, just, you know, by myself, if you would have told me that in 10, 12 years, I would have started a general contracting business, had a site work business that then sold, like, I just could.
Invested in a medical device
and a spa. Like, what? Like, not even on my radar. But it's all about, you know, seeing that a door is opening and just having the courage to walk through it.
Right.
And don't miss the door.
Right.
Be aware enough of what's happening to not miss the door, you know?
So. And sometimes it's not the big, big, big leaps. It's the little incremental
decisions. That's what it's been the whole time.
Decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it sounds like it's cliff jumping, but it really has been incremental changes that along the way that has
little
led
yeses.
To big things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Ooh, that could be our title too.
Yeah.
The little yeses.
The little yeses.
The big yes or whatever. I don't know. Anyways, thank you, friends.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time. I love you dearly.
I love you.
Stay inspired, and we will continue to be inspired by you.
Great. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, friends, for riding along on today's Reinvention Road Trip. If you like what you heard, tell a friend and leave us a review. I know it seems like a little thing, but it is so important to see if we're on the right track. You can find the show notes at jessaverhart.com/podcast. And don't forget to join the Reinvention Road Trip by signing up for our newsletter, where I share behind-the-scenes details and nuggets that you won't hear on the show. New episodes drop weekly, so subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to your podcast these days. All right, friends, thanks so much. Until next time.
You might have noticed a change in your neighborhood lately. Yep, Sprint stores are now T-Mobile stores. Now that Sprint is T-Mobile, you get more coverage, value, and benefits than ever before. We've invested billions to bring our 5G from big cities to small towns across America. And great coverage is just the start. From high-speed mobile hotspot data to weekly deals and giveaways, our customers get tons of great benefits. Head to your new T-Mobile store to learn more.
Qualifying service and capable device required. Coverage not available in some areas. Some uses may require certain plan or features. See T-Mobile.com.
Life gets more magical when you dream. So dream of a Disney cruise filled with magic and wonder.
Hiya, pal!
Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line.